Set up a recording. Okay.
Can we mute everybody?
Yeah, we're going to mute everybody. Yeah,
is it 3A or 3B?
Again, feel free to unmute if you have questions.
Is it 3B or 3A?
3A. We're still on 3A. We hopefully will be turning the page soon.
Okay.
But we're still on 3A. Okay, so we'll just mute everyone. And as I said, feel free to unmute. If not, I'm also trying out... So we're doubly recording this one. Because I'm also trying out Zoom recording, so hopefully we'll be able to hear the questions as well, because I always forget to repeat the questions, which means they don't come out on the recording. So we'll see if that works as well. So we left off, for those who were here last time, at about 3 o'clock, we started a very interesting debate, which was great, but also problematic. It's great because it's always good to have the debate, but it was problematic because I had to go to school to pick up. So I have to do the same thing again today. So I'm going to finish 3 o'clock on the dot to dash out. But I will just mention some of the thoughts that I had after that in the car, because obviously I spent a long time thinking about what we were discussing last time. And some of the challenges. And again, we can revisit it. It seems to center around this idea of chatzi nezek, of half damages. And I just want to clarify a few points on that. And again, it's something we'll return to, because this is not really the place where we discuss it's not really the place where we have the discussion, where the Gemara has the discussion of half damages. That comes a little bit later on. But I will just mention a few points. So the first one is that when we're talking about, I think this sort of came up in the last year, but when we're talking about the Gemara, we're not simply talking about, a group of rabbis sitting in a sort of a dark cave somewhere, coming up with their own theories. We do believe that this is part of a divine wisdom, that it is linked to the Torah, and more than linked to the Torah, that this is the oral tradition that was sort of fleshed out over generations after being given, handed down to Moshe. And so there is a little bit more than just an ancient wisdom per se. I just think it's good to bear that in mind when we talk about it. The second thing is I just wanted to distinguish between a few different areas, which I think we're getting confused. So the first one is, the two areas that I thought we needed to distinguish is what's called ones and chatzi nezek. So ones is a case basically means that you are you're totally not liable. So I think we sort of touched upon a case where, let's say, you had a strong fence around your animal, and the animal managed to get out unexpectedly, totally unexpectedly, and went to damage. That would be a case, most likely, I think, of ones. So that would be a case where it's totally unforeseeable, and there would be no liability there at all. The case of chatzi nezek is where there is liability in a sense, but the Torah has, for whatever reason, again, we may have trouble with this logically, but I think that's a discussion which we'll have to revisit later when we come to the Gemara talking about why we have chatzi nezek. But again, the principle the Gemara is laying out is a case where there is liability, but the Torah has again, different Rishonim phrase it in different ways. Either the Torah has given a slight break because it was partially unexpected, or the Torah has said, you know what, really, you shouldn't be liable, but we'll make you liable. But it's a very, very specific case. It's a very specific case. It's not a standard case of damages. Most damages will either be liable or not liable, as it were. So you'll either be considered to be culpable, or you'll fall into a category of ones where you wouldn't be culpable at all. We haven't really talked about ones. And again, all of this is all within the realm of, until now, we've all been talking about the realm of your animal damaging, which is, again, a very, very specific area of halacha. When it comes to human being, when it comes to people damaging, we, A, have no concept of half damages. There is no such thing as half damages when we're talking about a person. There are no cases. There's no area of halacha where a person would pay half damages. And the B, the standards for ones, let's put it like this. The Mishnah says there's no such thing as ones when it comes to human beings. In reality, there may be a couple of situations. There may be situations where that's not really true, but that's something which we'll revisit later on. But in principle, when a human being damages, then again, that's a much, much higher level, much more severe, and dealt with much more strictly, much more stringently. Okay, so that was just a little bit of background, I think, from where we left off last time.
Rabbi,
Yes, did I have another question? Yes,
sir. Is honest the same spelling as rape?
As what, sorry?
Rape, Aleph, Av, Nun, Samach.
Yes. Oh, rape, yes, I see what you mean. Sorry, yes. I didn't hear
the word. Very weird name to call it, I don't know. Why?
Why is it referred to that? I don't know. We'll have to look back through. But through rabbinic literature, it's a very, very common phrase, that a very common word that's used not just in damages, but in all areas. So, for instance, I don't know, a person. We have a responsibility to say the Shema every day, right? But if a person obviously is, God forbid, in a coma or something, then they're an onus. Then you have no responsibility to fulfill that obligation. We have an obligation to eat matzah. If a person has a stomach condition, that means they can't eat the matzah, that would be an onus. So it's a common word. I don't know exactly. It's an interesting. I'll have to look up why why it seems to match.
Well, it describes the condition of the person, presumably. At the time, he's unable to do it.
Sorry?
Because he's unable to do it, and that's it. Because he's anus. He's
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the meaning over here.
Yeah.
So that's the meaning. Okay, very good. So, yes, Aleph, Vav, Nun, Samach. Okay, so we left off last week. Again, we're still trying to figure out. I'm still not convinced we'll get there today, but maybe next time we'll get to the case of Rav Papa. We're trying to find this case of Rav Papa, where Rav Papa had was of the opinion that that while we have head categories and subcategories, almost or many of them are the same, but there is definitely there is at least one case, and I think just one case, we'll see at the end, but at least one case where they are dissimilar. So the head category and the subcategory don't actually match up. But while we're trying to figure that out, we're going through all of the various head categories and subcategories, and all of them seem to be similar and therefore do not seem to fit Rav Papa's opinion. So we're still struggling to find one. We left off talking about the tolda of Shein and the tolda of Regel. So the subcategories of these categories, Shein and Regel. We said Shein was where an animal not just uses its teeth, but eats. So the head category is where an animal eats something. And the subcategories were cases in which an animal gets benefit, gets pleasure of sorts by damaging. So for instance, if the animal rolls around on some fruits and damages that way, it's getting the pleasure of sort of scratching its itch through your fruits and is damaging the fruits at the same time. That's a subcategory and is still liable, again with certain restrictions. Each of these categories has its own restrictions. And tolda de regel, the subcategories of regel, the classic case of regel is where an animal is simply walking along in the middle of the street and ends up not in the middle of the street actually, because it's we'll come back to whether it's liable in public property or not. But let's say an animal's walking along and damages treads on something precious of yours while you are while it's walking. That's the category of regel. And the subcategories are things like where it knocks it over, where it's with its legs as it's walking. So not stepping per se. But with the bit in its mouth, it knocks something as it's going along. So those are sort of subcategories of regel. And again, the Gemara ends off by saying that all of those are similar, and therefore we're still searching for this category or subcategory which is different from the main categories. So we are now eight lines from the end of the page, where the Gemara has turned its attention to Bur. To another category, head category of damages. Bur literally means a pit. And we're talking about, again, the head category, the standard one, is where I dig a big hole in the road. And, another fellow comes along a few minutes later and falls into that hole and hurts themselves. So I'm liable for those damages because I left a hazard in the road without clear markings. I've added that in. The Gemara doesn't talk about that, but maybe we'll find out whether that's true in a bit. Since I've left that hazard in the way, so I'm liable for those damages. So now, what are the subcategories of that? So we are, as I said, eight lines from the bottom, third word on the line, tolda de bur. Is everybody with me? A few nods. Okay, great. Tolda de bur, my nihu. What are the subcategories of this case of bur? So they are as follows. Ilema av yud v'tolda tes. If you're going to tell me that the head category is a pit which is 10 tefachim deep, so 10 handbreadths deep, that's approximately a handbreadth is about that much, somewhere between 8 and 10 centimeters or so. So again, just under a meter deep, your pit. So if you're going to tell me that you, once you reach a certain depth, then that is considered to be the head category, and less than that is a subcategory. So it says lo tesk CV, below yud CV. The Torah doesn't distinguish between either of those. The Torah doesn't mention anything about a nine tefach pit or a 10 tefach pit. So how can you distinguish between the two? Right? The distinction between, we've said in the past, the distinction between ovos and toldos, the head categories and the subcategories, is that the head categories are explicitly written in the Torah, and the subcategories are only known through derivation or through other sort of ways, but in this case there doesn't seem to be any reason to distinguish. So that's not a good head category versus subcategory. So holo kasha. So the Gemara responds again. Now six lines from the end. Holo kasha. That's not a problem. Why? Vahameis yihyeh lo. So in the discussion in Parashas Mishpatim, where it talks about somebody digging a pit, it refers to vahameis yihyeh lo, that the corpse will belong to that person. So again, if your animal falls into the pit and dies, then the person gets the corpse, but they have to pay the damages. Since it refers to a death, our rabbis, we have a rabbinic tradition, Yud Avdan Misa, that 10 tefach pit is, you know, was possible to kill, that a 10 tefach pit seems to be that's the cutoff, right? Up until that tes nezikin of the 9 tefach pit would do damage, but a 10 tefach pit is considered to be a possibility to be liable for death, and therefore that, since it mentions death in the verse, that in and of itself is a reference to a cutoff in terms of depth of the pit, right? The depth of the pit is the distinction between the head category and the subcategory. The head category, which is mentioned in the Torah, is one which causes death, and the rabbis put a length on that, effectively, right? A number on it, and they said up until that means up until 10 handbreadths. If it's larger than that or deeper than that, then that's a problem. Then that's a head category. If it's less than that, it may cause damage, and you're still going to be liable. But it's in the subcategory. It may even cause death, but it's still considered to be the subcategory. It may technically cause death. Fine. So that's the response. So that's the initial response. Then the Gemara wants to know, test nezikin of the misa lo avdi. So it says yes, a 9 tefach pit will cause damage, but it won't cause death. So Sof asks the Gemara, okay, but in the end, ze av la misa v'ze av le nezikin, right? Why we still shouldn't make any distinction between the two, right? There's no real difference. One is considered to be a head category for damages, and one's considered to be a head category of death. We're not talking in this Masechta only about death. We're talking about all sorts of damages. Even if you damage, an animal or a person or anything in a way which doesn't fully destroy it, then that still should be a head category. So the Gemara doesn't like that answer. Ella, rather, it responds, talking about avno sakino umaso'o. It's talking about your stone or your knife or your pack. So you leave something else in the middle of shehinichan birushas rabim. You leave them in the in a public place. So digging a pit, that's the head category. If I dig a big hole in the road, then that causes damage. That's the head category. If I leave my knife in the middle of the road and someone trips on that, or I leave my pack in the middle of the road and someone trips on my backpack, then that's a subcategory, right? Or you leave your knife there and someone hurts themselves, then that would be a subcategory of bur. Vehiziko. So if you leave them there and they cause damage, hechidami, what's the case? So now the Gemara is trying to figure out what this is a very common phrase in the Gemara, Hechi Dami. It wants to know, can you draw a picture for me? Okay, you've said the words, you've described that now a knife and a backpack and a or a stone that you've left there, but what exactly does it look like, right? I'm still a little bit puzzled. Can you flesh it out? So the Gemara responds, Ida afgarinhu, let's say you left it there and you said it's no longer mine, right? Someone gave me this bag of earth, right? Someone very kindly donated this bag of earth to me. I don't want it. I'm going to leave it in the middle of the street, right? And I don't want it anymore. It's there and anyone is welcome to take it, but no one takes it. Someone comes along and trips over it 5 minutes later, right? So am I liable for those damages or not? So the Gemara says, if that's what happens, Bein Larav, Bein Lashmuel, who have a debate which we'll see in a moment, well, we're not really going to see, but it comes up later on in Bava Kamma, a debate regarding the problem of Bor. What exactly is it based on? What are the issues of digging a pit? But whichever opinion you follow, they both agree that if you're mafkir, the fact that you declare it ownerless does not make a difference. You're still liable. The fact that you leave it there and you say it's no longer my responsibility, right? You've already dug the pit. It's too late to now declare lack of responsibility to say I'm not interested in this item anymore or in this area anymore. You've done the damage, as it were, already, and therefore. And therefore you're still chayiv, hainu bor. That is exactly the case of digging a pit. So now we're turning over onto 3b. Rabbi, can we just finish the point and then we'll come back for questions?
Yep.
So v'ida lo afkarinhu, and let's say you did not declare it ownerless, then ila Shmuel de Omar kulam mibor lamadnu, if we're talking about if we're going according to the opinion of Shmuel, who says that all of these fall under the category of bur, then it is bur. Ve'ila Rav, so Rav is of the opinion that what we mentioned is not bur, but falls under a different category. Ve'ila Rav de Omar Kulam Mishoro Lamadnu, they're referring to, they're falling under the category of an animal. So yes, your knife is not an animal technically, but it's falling under the category of an animal. Then, Hainu Shar, so then it still is similar to shor. Ma'ishna bor shekein tchilas is asiyos al nezek umamon chosh miros on alecha. Okay, I'll run through this quickly. Basically, I'm not going to. We'll read the words in a moment. But what the Gemara concludes by basically saying that whether you're understanding these items as falling under the category of bor or under the category of shor, the bottom line is that they are liable. That they have all the similarities that we've listed until now. They cause damage. You're responsible for them, and you're responsible to, and therefore you're responsible if damage is caused by them. And therefore, there's no difference. And we're still struggling to find a subcategory which is different to the head category, as per the opinion of Rav Papa. Take a couple of questions, and then we'll go through that again in more detail, just to make sure we've understood it. Yes, Andrew.
I was going to say that there seems to be no connection to the idea of digging a pit, because if you've got an obstacle in a public
domain... Can you speak up a little, Andy? Sorry.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I'm saying that if you are keeping obstacles in a public domain, then you're liable anyway if damages ensue, I would have thought. But what has this got to do with digging a pit? I can understand if you dug the pit and left the tools. But leaving the tools per se doesn't seem to have any connection to anything apart from them being a stumbling block themselves.
Remind me, why are we talking about the tools? Well, you mean it's the subcategory that I mentioned?
Yeah.
So we're talking about, let's say you didn't dig a pit. Let's say you just left a knife in the middle of the street. So yeah. Are you liable for that or not? So the Gemara is saying that according to Shmuel, that is okay. Let's say if you leave a knife in the middle of the pit and you say this is no longer no pit, because we're talking about the subcategories now. The pit is just a paradigm, right? It's just a paradigm. So the subcategory is, let's say I leave a knife in the middle of the street and I say this is no longer mine. So that is the classic case of bur, right? That's a classic case of leaving a hazard in the middle of in a public place, and that hazard causing damage, and I'm liable for it. If I hold on to it, if it still belongs to me, then we have a debate between Rav and Shmuel as to whether it falls under the category of bar or it falls under the category of shur. But both agree that you're liable, right? So the reason why that makes a difference is because they have slightly different parameters, as we know. Shur only is liable half damages the first few times, and bar might not be liable in different places. So again, they each have their own slightly different parameters, but everybody agrees that you would be liable, that you would actually be responsible to pay. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Not really, because that is a category of itself. It's hardly a subcategory.
What is a category in and of itself?
The tools, anything left in a public domain which causes damage.
That's the category of bur.
Of anything. Not a pit. I'm saying the tools, that anything that could be a trip hazard, for example, doesn't necessarily have to be a pit. It doesn't necessarily have to be an animal. It could be something that is an obstacle, an obstruction that has been left there. I've intentionally.
No, but Andy, I think the point that's being made here is that there's a disagreement between Rav Papa and Rav. Rav says that if you leave something like a bundle in the public domain, then actually he sees that as a category of shor, not of bor. But you're still liable. It's just what is the disagreement between the two of them is, and you can see that, can't you? Because an animal is property. So I suspect he's thinking, okay, it's another item of property. So
which belongs to you.
Which belongs to you.
Yeah, his point is that the distinction between bur and shur is whether the key factor is whether it belongs to you or not. But Shmuel is saying the key factor is whether it's something which is left simply lying there in a public place. If it's left lying there in a public place, then that is falling under the category of bur, regardless of whether you own it or not. According to Rav, if it belongs to you, then it's sure. If it doesn't belong to you, then but you're still considered to be liable, and that is the category of bur. Does that make sense? It's irrelevant of a pit or not. Again, like with Shane and Regel, we're trying not to get hung up on the words on the. It's just a paradigm, right? So
the bur is just a name.
Teeth or legs. And Keren is not limited to a horn, as we saw as well, the same thing. So too, bor is not limited to a pit. It's simply creating a category. It's a name for a category, effectively, where you are liable if you leave some sort of hazard in a public place.
I think you're being overkind there, because it's quite clear that a pit is a cause for concern. I don't think you can use that as a paradigm for any obstruction. Something that is something very definite.
I don't.
Well, listen, leave it there. It doesn't matter. We'll leave it there. But you know,
I'm still lost as to the question. I don't see a question here. What is? Just one more time. Try me with the question.
The question is that the artifacts that are left there are not connected to a pit.
Well, we're not talking about pits. We're talking about public hazards.
Yeah, but we're saying that the head category of a public hazard is a pit.
That's just the word. That's just the name. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it Blue Red Joe, and that will be the head category now. For public hazards are called Blue Red Joe, and that's what we call it. It's an irrelevance what the name is. The point is we're setting up that all public hazards fall under this category.
But the imagery then is wrong, I would suggest. I mean, let's leave it there. But the imagery is wrong. Call it a public hazard. Don't call it a pit and subcategories of.
Okay. I'm still not following, so maybe you'll explain to me the difference. But, okay, we'll leave it there for now. Did Ellie have a question? Someone else had a question, I thought. Maybe not. Okay. So I'm not sure the Gemara is going to mention this. So I'll just mention one interesting point. Um, All right, let's just run through the words towards the top of 3b, and then I'll just mention this point. So again, the Gemara comes back to this lengthy phrase which we've used a number of times in slight variations, which is that Bain l'Rav, Bain l'Shmuel. So whether you're following the opinion of Rav or you're following the opinion of Shmuel, so then we end up in a situation where, and we're going to list now the key factors that are actually making you liable. And as we've seen in the past, you know, you can put emphasis on different elements of it. You can put your emphasis on different parts of it more than the other. So now we'll say, we'll just start in the middle of the second line, the top of Gimel Amud Bet. 3b, Ve'ila Rav, de Omar Kulam Mishoro Lamadnu. So we're now in the opinion of Rav, who says that all of these things fall under the category of Shor, right? An ox, not an ox, but just as a category. Hainu Shor, Maishna Bur. What is the difference between Bur? Shekain Tchilas Asios or Nezek. A Bur was created as a hazard, at its very, you know, it in and of itself is a hazard. Whereas that's not true of other things, right? A cat, for example, is not created as something which causes damage. It's simply an animal. It may happen to go and damage. It eats your flowers or whatever it does, and then that causes you damage. But it's not created as something which causes damage. Whereas a burr is something that's left as a hazard. As soon as it's left in that place, it becomes a hazard. Umo moncha, says the Gemara, and it belongs to you. Ushmiroso alecha, and you're considered to be responsible for it. Haninami, so too here. Tchilas asiyosan lenezek, they are created as damages, as a hazard. Umo moncha, and they're your property. Ushmiroso alecha, and you're responsible for them, liable to look after them. Ela tolda de bur kebur. So again, see that subcategory of bur is the same as the bur itself. So those examples fall under the same bracket as a pit. V'chika omarav papa atolda de mav'er. So now we're going to move on to the next head category, which is that of mav'er, which I'm not going to translate for the minute because again it's a debate as to what exactly that means. But that was another word that we saw in the Mishnah, another head category that we saw in the Mishnah. I'll just mention a very interesting thing that the Gemara here uses the phrase which it has used until now, which is or similar phrase. With all of them until now, we've said that there is something about them. So for instance, Shane, you get benefit. Keren, the animal intends to damage. And here we're saying, Tchilas Asiyos Olenezek, it's created as a hazard. So from the very moment when it's placed there, it becomes a hazard, right? It is a potential hazard. But then it also says, Uma Moncha, it belongs to you. Now, what about if it doesn't belong to you, right? We've just said that if I declare it ownerless, I say I'm not interested in this anymore, then I'm still liable. So actually, Bor is a very unique category in this regard of damages. And Tosus picks up on this. So you can see the big word, Uma Moncha, on the side. So this is to the right of page 3b. Tosas always on the outside of the page. Can everyone see? It's the second one down. It's the second paragraph down. Uma moncha, it begins. Lav dafka. That's his first word. Not exactly. It says it doesn't really mean it belongs to you, right? When the Gemara says belongs to you, it's just a colloquialism. Why? Gabe bur. Lav dafka gabe bur. It doesn't really mean that it belongs to you when it talks about a pit or that category. De lav mamonahu, because it's not your property. V'chein gabe eish, and so too with regards to the category of eish, which we haven't discussed much. Why? De pshita de imhidlik gadisha, because it's obvious that if a person lights a field or you light something, shel chavira ba'eish shel acher de chayev, that even if I take someone else's, I take a torch out of the torch bracket, which belongs to someone else, and I use that to light a fire, the person whose torch bracket it is not liable. I'm the one who's liable, right? It's irrelevant who it belongs to. The question is who's causing the damage when it comes to Aish, and so too with regards to the pit. It's irrelevant whether it belongs to me. So there are others who say, so it's a very interesting debate. So Tosus basically says, okay, you know, it doesn't really mean it belongs to you. He's basically sort of just saying, you just have to read it with a little bit of, poet's license. Whereas others say, they quote a Gemara later on, which says, it appears once in Bava Kama, and it also appears in Psachim, which says there are two things in this world which don't belong to a person, but the Torah views them as though they do belong to a person. So number one is a pit in a public, not just a pit, but any sort of hazard that a person leaves in a public category. Does anyone want to guess what the second one is? I gave you a clue. I gave you a clue in its location in the Gemara. It appears in Psachim. Right? So the other one that doesn't belong to a person, but the Torah views it as though it belongs to a person is, no takers, is chometz. Chometz on Pesach. So chometz on Pesach is the other category, because again, to be technically liable, a person should own the chometz. Even if you stand there and declare it ownerless, right? If you keep it in your property, or you don't keep it in your property, let's say you eat it, right? You still violate the prohibition against owning chometz, and therefore, those are the two things that the Torah views as though you own them, even though you declare them to be technically ownerless. Others say that, and the Rashba goes so far as to say it's just a mistake, right? Sometimes we have printing errors in the Gemara, and sometimes we have to chop out a word or two here or there. He says that's it. You get rid of it. The Rashba says. He says, "Vada de lo garsinon le." We don't have this. Edition, right? It's a mistaken edition. We take out the word umamoncha. When it comes to bur, when it comes to this category, it's irrelevant of who owns it. The question is it a hazard that was created that by its nature becomes a hazard immediately? And are you liable to look after it to ensure that it doesn't cause damage? If you tick both of those boxes, then that is the category of bar, and you would be liable. You would be liable. All right. So that takes us up until then. Any questions before we move on? Okay, great. So now we're on to the next category. So we've been through a few. Keren, Shein, Regel, Bor. None of them seems to fit Rav Papa. So now we're moving on to Mav'eh. What is Mav'eh? So my Nihu. We're now seven lines from the top of Gimel Amud Bet, 3b. My Nihu. What is Mav'eh? Ilish Shmuel. If we're talking, or my Nihu is what are they really? So it's referring to the subcategories of the of this head category. Ilish Shmuel, if we're talking about according to the opinion of Shmuel, the Omar Mav Ezu Shein, he says Mav is referring to Shein. Ha'okimna, we've already seen that. We've already established, told her the Shein, Keshein, the subcategories of Shein are the same. Right, those were the ones where you're getting benefit. The animal is getting benefit whilst doing the damage. Ila Rav, if it's Rav, we have many debates between Rav and Shmuel. So this is the second one in as many lines. Ila Rav, if you're following the opinion of Rav, da Omar Mav Eze Odom, he says Mav is referring to human damage, a person who causes damage. My Ovos, my told us, there's no such thing as head categories and subcategories. All damage done by a person is considered to be falling into this head category of human damage. The category is human damage, and everything falls into that head category. So my Ovos, my told us, Isbe, what are the head categories and the subcategories. The Chitema, if you're going to tell me, now we are going to try and suggest some subcategories, that perhaps Av Neor Tolda Yoshein, that the head category of human damage is when I'm awake. Tolda Yoshein, when I am asleep, then that's considered to be a subcategory. So if in my sleep I happen to for argument's sake, I don't know why you come up with very strange examples, but hopefully it will work. So we happen to be all sharing a tent together, and in my sleep I sort of reach over and pull something out, I pull your phone out of your bag, or happen to throw it across the tent and it breaks. So while I was sleeping, am I liable for that? The answer is yes, you're definitely liable for that, but you. But perhaps that's a subcategory. V'hotnan, right? Haven't we taught Adam Muad La'olam? Person, this is a Mishnah that appears later on Daf Chavav 26. We'll get there one day. Mishnah that appears, very important Mishnah. Adam Muad La'olam, person is always considered to be liable. Any damage that a person does is different, is on a high, much higher category. As I said, when the Gemara says always, doesn't really mean always, because we'll come up with certain, the Gemara will spend time trying to figure out, there are definitely cases in which a person technically wouldn't be liable. But in principle, a person is, if you, let's say, put your phone into my hand while I'm asleep, right, and then I end up breaking it, then I wouldn't be liable. That's a simple case. So the Mishnah, back into this Mishnah of Ahotanan, we've taught already, Adam Muad La'olam, a person is always, Muad is always considered to be ready to cause damage. Bain Er, Bain Yoshen, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep. So therefore, that's still considered to be the head category. So that's not a good suggestion. Ella Akicha Venio. So now, rather, it's talking about Kicho Venio. So I think this is talking about a person's spit, I believe. Okay, there's no Rashi here. There we go. Let's see what do we have over here. Kicho Venio. Oh yes, okay. Person's spit, or from the nose, right? From the mouth or from the nose. That's how I have it explained over here. Does that tally up with what you have? Okay, great. So that's what it's referring to. So still, the Gemara is now given the words, but it's going to ask, "Hey Chidomi, can you describe that? What exactly does that? What is the picture?" So Akicha Venio, it's referring to a person's spit or similar. Hey Chidomi, how exactly is this working? E Bahade de Ozli Komazke. If it's as it goes, that it's causing damage, kochahu, then that's simply considered to be the strength, the effort of a person, i.e. a person is not just liable for damage done directly, but damage done by their force as well. So if I hit a person, right, then I'm liable. If I throw something at them, even though technically, you know, there is a gap between, right, that's still the force. I use that force to damage that person, then that still is considered to be liable. So too with a person's spit or similar. If it's, you know, if it's damaging as it comes out, then that's kocho. That's considered to be an extension of a person, and therefore still considered to be full damage and fully liable. E basar denayich. If it's after it's already come to a resting point, right? So a person, let's say, spits on the ground, right, and leaves a hazard of sorts over there, then guess what the Gemara is going to say? Bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel, whether you're following the opinion of Rav or Shmuel, haynu bor. That's the case of a pit, which we were talking about earlier, a hazard, a public hazard. You've left a slippery patch in the middle of the street, which again may not belong to you, but that's irrelevant in this case. So it's falling under a different category. That's not the category of Adam Hamazik, of a human being causing damage. It's considered to fall under the category of Bur, but you'd still be liable. But therefore, again, that's not relevant for this discussion. Ella told Adam Mav'er Kamav'er. So again, we're still hitting a brick wall here. The subcategory of Mav'er, whether that's human damage or Eish, right, or fire damage, which we mentioned earlier, is still similar to the head category, and therefore we still have a problem. V'chika Omar Rav Papa, a tolder to Eish, Rav Papa is referring to the tolder of fire, which will explain what that is in a moment. Okay, the subcategory of fire. Any questions before we go on? Okay. Is everyone okay, following?
Let's ask a very simple.
Yes, sorry, go on. Okay.
If my understanding is correct, I may be totally wrong. It's important to decide which category the damage is so that you know what sort of liability and damages, you have to pay for them.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Is that the purpose?
That's correct. Yes. So what the Gemara is not really talking about the details of any of these categories. Sometimes I'm throwing in some of the details from the commentaries, which comes later. The Gemara will later sort of bring various cases to figure out when a category is liable and when you're not, etc. But the Gemara is really here just establishing what the categories are and what some of the subcategories are, and trying to. It's very common. The Gemara is basically going on a bit of a tangent, right? Trying to understand this opinion of Rav Papa, who said that subcategories are different to the head categories. And in doing so, we're actually getting quite a good basic outline of the first few chapters of Baba Kama, right? We're getting quite a good outline of the various types of damages that a person could be liable for. And what some of their sort of subcategories are, as I said, we're getting a good tour as we go through. Okay, so we've been through again. We're knocking them all off the list. We've done Shor, which we split into three. So there was Keren, Shane, and Regel. We've talked about what was after Shane and Regel? Was that Bur? We skipped straight to Bur. Yes. So after Keren, Shane, Regel, we talked about Bur. Then we've just talked about Mav'er, which we said could either be a human being or Aish. Now we're going to focus on Aish itself. So now this is within the opinion of Rav. Sorry, within the opinion of Rav. Correct, because Shmuel said Mav'er. Oh, sorry, not Mav'er Zu Aish. Mave is Shane. My mistake. I got myself confused. So to forget what I just said. We've done with Mave, which was either Shane or Adam, either of those head categories. Now we're moving on to a new head category, that of Aish. So again, the head category simply is if I light a fire, I light the fire. Not just lighting the fire there, but we're talking about a case where the fire spreads, right? And you're still liable for the damage. If you light a fire there, then that's considered to be Odom Hamazak. If I take a, a lighter and I set fire to a document or to a photograph or a painting that's very important to you. Painting is a simple one because financially it's a financial damage. So I set fire to your painting and I cause you damage. That's considered to be Adam Hamazik. That's considered to fall into a different category. The category of Aish is where I, let's say, for example, set fire to a weed in my garden, which I want to get rid of. And I set fire to that weed and the wind then blows that fire over to your house and destroys your entire field, then that's the category of Aish, right? So that's the category of Aish, which we'll see in a moment. That's what we're referring to. Tolda de Aish. So we're now about a third of the way down, maybe a quarter of the way down Gimel Amud Bet. The first word on the line is de Aish, and then we're going from the second word on the line, Tolda de Aish. Everyone with me? More or less? Yes, okay, great. Tolda de Aish, the subcategory of Aish, my Nihu, what are they? What are these subcategories? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, suggest that the subcategories are Avno, Sakino, Umaso'o, again, the knife or a pack, backpack, Shehinichan, Barosh, Gago, that you left on your roof. So I left my backpack, balancing on the top of my roof. We're talking about a flat roof, right? We're talking about a roof which you can stand on. I go up to my balcony is a better example. So I leave my backpack balancing on the edge of the balcony and it falls off and causes damage. Of a noflu, beruach matzuya, and a normal wind, a regular wind comes along and knocks off that backpack, the hiziko, and it causes damage. Heichi domi. So what's the category? I bahade de Oslo, komazke. If we're talking about a case where it damaged as it fell, right? So as it falls down, then it causes damage. It falls on your cat, for example, right? And causes damage to the cat. Then that's considered to be Aish, right? Hainu Aish. That's a category of Aish. Maishno Aish. What is the difference between the head category of Eish, de koach acher ma'urav bo. This is the key phrase where, when it comes to the category of Eish, and it involves another force. Something else mingles in with my input, right? So it's not me alone. Something else has combined forces with me to cause damage, but it was something predictable, right? So this is a standard wind, as an example, regular wind, that is considered to be predictable, and it's and since it's predictable, so that koach acher, that other force that has mingled in with my actions, umamoncha, and it belongs to me, ushmiros analecha, and I'm liable to look after this thing, haninami, koach acher meurabo, so too with the avno sakino masov, I left my knife, my backpack, or a big stone, on my roof, and the wind blew them off and they caused damage. So that's the those would be the same thing. Right, another something else has come along to combine with me, and they belong to me, and I'm liable to look after them. Ella told her the Eish ka Eish. So the subcategory of Eish seems to be like Eish. V'chika omarav papa. I told her. So that's that for now. So we've scratched Eish from the record as well. Very simply. So Eish was this category which involves other things, another force involved, and it still is similar. The subcategories are similar to the head category. Ella, sorry, v'chika omar of Papa. So now we're about halfway down the page. V'chika omar of Papa. First words on the line are of Papa, more or less halfway down the page. Atolda de regel. Now we've gone back to the subcategory of regel, but we've already scratched that from the record. So what are we talking about? Regel ha'akimna, told her the regel ka'regel. We've already established that the subcategories of regel are similar. The subcategories of regel were when the animal knocks something as it passes along, knocks something with its saddle or something similar, and that's too similar. No, there's another category, there's another case which we missed out. Bechatzi nezek tsroros. We're talking about a case where you're only liable half damages for the stones, for the tsroros, for the stones. The hilchasa gemiri la, because, so I'll translate hilchasa gemiri la as, okay, no one says it here, but the many Rishonim translate hilchasa gemiri la as what's called a halacha la Moshe Misina, which means that it doesn't appear anywhere in the Torah, but it was orally transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moses at Sinai, and we've maintained that tradition. So although we don't have it written anywhere in the Torah, we treat that as a Torah category. We treat that as a Torah prohibition in this case, not prohibition, but a Torah level of damage. But you're only liable. It's a very special case, very unique case, where you're only liable half damages. So I'll just explain again halacha l'moshe misinai, and then I'll explain this case. Halacha l'moshe misinai is simply something which is not written in the Torah, but was orally transmitted to Moshe. For instance, other examples are the fact that tefillin are black, right? The fact that tefillin have to be black. Everybody agrees to that. No debate that tefillin have to be black, or tefillin have to be square. Just another example. The debate which part has to be square, but that there is a square element to the tefillin. Everybody agrees to, but it's not written anywhere in the Torah. But that still is a Torah law. Again, was transmitted to Moshe at Sinai orally, and we handed down by tradition. So, what's the case of chatzi nezek tsroros? That means that the regular case of regel is where an animal tramples as it walks. This is a case where it's walking along, and it, as it's walking with no intention at all, it kicks a stone, right, which then goes and let's say smashes your windscreen, right. So again, logically, we might have said that you're liable full damages. Others might have argued you're liable. You're not liable at all, right? Because it's just normal way the animal walks. We could sit here and debate it all day. But the point is that the Torah has laid out a principle that we have this category of what's called chatzi nezek tsroros. So you are liable half damages in that case. But the key point again, the logic of it we can discuss in a moment if people want. But the key thing which we've got here is we finally got to a point where we have a subcategory, hooray, after 5 weeks or however long we've been doing this, right? After 5 weeks, we finally have a subcategory which is different to the head category. So we have now found this this elusive case which Rav Papa was searching for. So Rav Papa had said that some subcategories are different in the Zikin and damages to the head categories. And finally, we found the one that is. That is Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. Even though all other elements of Regel, you're liable full damages, in this case, you're only liable half damages to Hilchos HaGemirah, because we have this Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai. Okay? So that's, again, a good place for pause if anybody has any comments or questions. And we will come, yeah, and then we'll just try and wrap up in the last couple of minutes. Okay, great. We'll see if we can make a run through the next five lines to get to two dots in a few minutes. And then we'll leave that as a good place to pause. We can go through this again, at another time. Feel free to think about it, to review it, and to come back with questions next time. But we will just run through the last sort of five or six lines until those two dots. Va'amai. So again, we're still about halfway down the page. Gimel Amud Bet. The first word on the line is Dehilchasa. Dehilchasa. And we're in the middle of that line. Va'amai Kari La Tolda. Why is this considered to be Va'amai Kari La Tolda de Regel? Why is this considered to be a tolda of regel, a subcategory of regel? Leshalem min ha'aliyah. Basically, the Gemara's question is, maybe if it's half damages, right? That seems to sound like it's the subcategory of keren, right? It's a slightly different thing. So leshalem min ha'aliyah. Whereas half damages of keren, right, a shor tam, literally an ox which gores unexpectedly, is considered to be half damages. There you have an additional sort of get off that you only pay up to the value of the animal itself. Whereas in this case, right, chatzi nezek tzoros, you pay regardless of the value of the animal. The shalem in aliyah, you pay from your best property. If you hit the windscreen of a Rolls Royce, right, you pay for half the windscreen, but at its full price, regardless of the value of the animal. V'homi boi boi rava. Didn't Rava have a question, right? Rava had a problem with this. The boi rava. Rava wasn't so convinced. He said, Rava chatzi nezek tzoros migufa mishalem. He asked, does this category of half damages, does it pay only migufo, only up to the value of the animal itself, right? If your animal is only worth £200, then you only pay a maximum of £200, even if the windscreen was worth 10 grand, and therefore half damages should be £5,000. That's what he wants to know. O min ha'aliyah mashalim, or do you pay the full price? So la rova mi boile, that's very nice that rova was bothered by it. Rova wasn't sure. Rav Papa was sure, and therefore this still fits with the opinion of Rav Papa. Rav Papa was 100% sure, therefore it does fall under the category of regel. So Larova Miboile Amai Korila told her the regel Lapota Brishusarabim. So according to Rava, he wasn't sure whether this half damages pays the full amount, or whether you pay the full half damages, or whether you're limited by the value of the animal or not. If that's the case, then what makes it similar to regel? Why is it in the category of regel? Why don't we put it in the category of keren, which sounds very similar? So the response of the Gemara is lepotra birishus arabim. The category of regel has a unique exemption in a public place. So usually, let's say keren, if my animal damages something in a public place, then I would still be liable. With regel, if your animal tramples on something as it's walking in the street, then it's not liable. It's only liable on private property. In public property, in public thoroughfare, it is not liable. And again, that's something which we'll return to, okay? Something which again requires figuring out why that should be the case. What is the source for that? But that's the way the Gemara ends. This case of chatzi nezek tzoros, an animal kicking up a stone and causing damage, is only liable half damages. It falls under the category of regel. according to everybody, it either falls under that category because it pays regardless of the value of the animal, or because it's exempt in a public place. Okay, so I know we covered a lot of ground there in the last few minutes. Maybe we'll go over that again at the beginning of next time. But what we can take away from that is that we've actually reached a good stopping point, right? We spent a long time trying to find this elusive subcategory which is dissimilar for the opinion of Rav Popper, and now we found it. Okay, so this animal kicking up stones as it walks along. Okay, any questions, comments before I disappear?
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
No worries. Rabbi. Lovely to see everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Very clear.
Thank you. All the best.
Very good. Really
okay,
good.
Great.